Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's been a good one so far. Thanks to Mr. Kellers. He gave a great sermon, a good Bible study on Habakkuk. Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much. I hope you're all enjoying this weather we had this week. It was kind of nice. Without having to wear a coat or turn on my gas furnace and run up my bill, it's kind of nice, I'm sure, in your case, too. So now we're sort of getting to the springtime. We're getting kind of used to the warm weather. Well, guess what? We know that this week is what? Beginning of God's holy days. What a great time it is. The understanding of God's plan and going forth and knowing that you and I have the understanding now that the world yearns for. They do not understand and have the understanding we have. How blessed we are. This afternoon, I'd like to take an overview of God's first holiday season. These, of course, are commanded days of God. They're not man's holy days, they're God's holy days. They're not the Israelites, they're God's. And God chose Israelites as his people, but there are God's commandments that he gives to them and to us. So we have Passover, which is coming up Thursday evening. And then we go from there. We go to have a good time afterwards because we're picturing what? Looking what the Israelites are released from our sins. That's a burden off each of us. So then we have a night to be remembered. And then we have the 7 days of unleavened bread, which is helping us to understand how to become more like God wants us to be. And so we won't have as many sins next year as we have to repent of this year. And hopefully each year it'll get less and less. And we can bring a smile to God's face as we come before him. So let's start out in Leviticus 23, 4, 5, where it tells us that we're supposed to have the Passover and these holy days. Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. Only God can make something holy, something that stands up to all things, because he is the creator. So it's a holy convocation, so something we are to be at, if at all possible. We'll go through the, we'll skip verse 3 because that's talking about the Sabbath. Let's jump down to verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. And the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. As you know, the Israelites had to put blood on the post and everything. I'm not going to read all about it, but you know about it. So the death angel would pass over them. Well, we now have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And as we keep the Passover, it's a little bit different. But it is the same meaning. We're asking God to pass over our sins. And God receives us through Jesus Christ because he died for you and me and every individual there is. And that's what he says in John 3:16. Don't need to read it. You've probably heard it many times. Well, maybe we should. Because it's for all mankind. It's just not for you and me. It's for us at this time because we understand. But it's for all mankind that Christ died. He is a supreme sacrifice. He never committed a sin. But he had to die a horrible death for you and me and all mankind. And how blessed we are. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he wants for you and me. That's what he wants for every person in the world to have, if they will accept him and obey. We all have the opportunity, but we have been called now and given the opportunity to know God's way now, and we have an opportunity to be the first fruits in God's kingdom. So we're really blessed in the understanding that we have. As we go into Passover, we'll talk about how we start Passover. For those who haven't been to our Passovers or have never kept a Passover, maybe. You know, we begin with a foot washing service. So let's see where this is at that we should do this. Let's look at John 3:4, if you would. I'm sorry, John 4:13-4. I said 3:4. 13:4, I'm sorry. Here it says, Christ, he raised from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. We'll skip there, verse 6, and go down to, because it talks about Peter there, so we'll go down to verse 13. Says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither is he is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So Christ led example, and that's what we follow at Passover. I know many times myself, when I'm washing some of the man's foot, I think, whose foot am I washing? Have you ever thought about it? You're washing Christ's feet? Have you ever think that how honored you would be? And that's how we should be honored to do each other's feet. Because it is a humbling experience. And God sent Christ and he set the example for us. So it's a very meaningful service because it's showing the humility that God wants you and I to have. And Jesus Christ was the example. And that's an example we'll always to follow, for he did give his life for you and me. Then after that, we'll turn over to Luke 22:14, if you would. And see what Christ did there. I'm sure you read it, but we're going to read it again because we need to read it again and understand what these symbols are about and why we do them. Okay, in Luke 22:14, it says, and when the hour was come, and he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, they had no idea what he was going to tell them at this point. At this point, he is opening their minds to understand something, and yet they still didn't understand it. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And that's what we do at Passover. We each have a little cup of wine that we take, which represents God's blood. For I say unto you, no more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. That will be the wedding supper. And he took bread and he gave thanks. and he brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me at the table. So there is more to the service than that, but this is what the symbols of Christ represent. That's how we keep Passover, taking his blood and the bread, which is the first time we eat unleavened bread. And unleavened bread, of course, we use during this time as putting sin out of our lives. So as we prepare for Passover, you and I are to examine ourselves and repent before God of anything that we can see that we may have found in nook or cranny in our lives. That's the reason that we have what I guess you might call the cleansing of our lives when we go and start trying to find any breadcrumbs or anything in our houses or in our cars or whatever. It's to remind us that we have places where sin may be in our lives that we need to find and we need to face and repent of. And that's what the symbolizing of unleavened bread is getting the sin out of our lives. And we look and find the nook and cranny of all these things we find. We're going, wow, did you know you had so many crumbs in your house? Did you know that? Well, my wife has had me painting our house upstairs. And I want to tell you, we found a lot more besides crumbs. We found some cobwebs and we found some other things. But I guarantee you it's probably had the best cleaning it's ever had in the upstairs for 15 years or so. Because we took every bit of furniture out of each room and we painted every room. And we cleaned that room. Well, my wife cleaned the room thoroughly. I did the painting and all that, but she did the cleaning. And we looked out and said, wow, boy, this room really looks nice. You know? And then you put all the furniture back and you feel what? Very good. Because you know you've taken every bit of dirt out of that room. And that's what God wants you and I to do in our lives, is to put the sin out of our lives and get rid of it. And on Passover, we have that opportunity to do that. And it is amazing that our God, and of course in his wonderful wisdom, which is way beyond what we can understand, he knew that we needed Passover before we could go to the days of unleavened bread. Because we have to look at ourselves and really try to cleanse ourselves out. And we're putting these crumbs out of our homes and out of our cars and wherever we have crumbs. We're looking at that and saying, I got to get rid of that. That represents sin. And I got to... And then we read and we study and then we start looking at ourselves. So we start saying, oh, yeah, I did. Oh, you know, I forgot all about that. You know, I gave somebody my word and I didn't keep it. That's not good. That's not an example of God's way of life. We're supposed to be of our word. You know, there's so many things that we can find out when we really start examining ourselves and really putting more effort into looking and digesting ourselves. You know, that we can take away and say, wow, yeah. And that's what God wants you and I to look at when we're preparing for Passover. We're to look at Uno. No one else. No one else but ourselves. Because we appear before God, and we're before God what? It's between you and God whether we're going to be in his kingdom. We have to be dedicated to God. And Jesus Christ showed us how to do that. And he died so that you and I can come to Passover. And when that night's over with, and we've taken the bread and the blood, which is the wine, and the bread is his body, which was so beat up that they couldn't even tell what he looked like. And he never committed a sin. So when you read John 3:16, it makes it a little bit more deeper. If you start looking at all that blood and all that pain that Christ took that he didn't deserve. But he did it because he loved God and he loved each of us just as God did. We are God's family. We are his children. And God wants you and me to be in his kingdom. He didn't create us not to succeed. He didn't call us not to succeed. He called you and I to finish the race and walk the walk and be in his kingdom as kings and priests. So it's a very humbling time when we start examining ourselves and we start seeing our lives, how we've fallen short, and sometimes you don't even realize how far we've fallen short. You know, and that's the thing that human beings do. We sort of look at other people and try to make ourselves feel better. Look at the world. They take no responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, if he hadn't have done that, I would never have lost my temper. Whoa, what's that got to do with it? Or if she hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have done what I did. Or I wouldn't have had that road rage if that guy just wouldn't have drove so slow and been so stupid going down the road. You know, that guy, it's his fault. But people will shoot people, will run them off the road. And one of God's spirits is what? Self-control. Self-control. You and I, even in this world we live in, we have to be different. We have to be the light to the world. That's what we're told in Matthew. Be the light to the world. We should be up on a hill. And hopefully when we're doing well, our light is bigger. But you and I are trying to get the true light, which is Jesus Christ and God the Father. And his light makes us look like, you maybe I'll find it with a microscope compared to God the Father. But he knows you, he knows me, and he sees our lights, and he sees us trying, and that's what God is asking us to do. Trying to overcome this world and asking him for the help we need to be there so that we can be in his kingdom when he returns. And Jesus Christ is our intercessor. And he died so much for you and me that we can have that opportunity. And he doesn't hold a grudge. If I got beat up for one of you, I don't know if I'd be happy with you. You know, if I got beat up bad and they said, well, it's because of what you caught didn't, and you're the person I will get, and I'm going to beat you up because of it. I'm going, whoa, But no, Christ took it. Didn't say a word. Because that was his duty. That's what God had sent him to do. As you know, he says, I'm about my Father's business. We have to be about our Father's business. This is what Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread is pointing out to you and me. This is a beginning of getting ourselves in line. And God has these holy days every year so that we totally look at ourselves and hopefully become better each year and don't have as many pages filled with things we've done wrong or we can find. Or as many crumbs in the corner. We said, oh, yeah. Can you imagine having that much love for someone that Christ and God did? Any of us that have children, if you saw your child had to be beat up like Jesus Christ was, to within an inch of his death, and knew your son was innocent, or daughter, of anything, how would you feel? Or if, say, someone was beat up because of you, and they were within an inch of their death, and they never said a word, they took the beating for you. Because if they hadn't beat me, they would have beat you. So they didn't say a word. That's called love. That's how much God loves you and me. So he has to remind us, and he has to remove our sins from us, because he knows we live in a sinful world. And we never want to forget who we're fighting. Who we are fighting. We're fighting Satan, the devil. And he hates you and me every time we do something that pleases God or bring a smile to God's face. Satan looks at you and says, I'm going to get you. If I can get you, I can find a way. He said, I can find a weak point. And the only way you and I can stay strong is if we do God's will. That's why we have to study, pray. That's why we have to help each other. We're a family. We're a family that bonds. We're a family to help each other. And we definitely are a minority in the world today. But God sees us as lights. He sees us as sons and daughters. And he has a plan, and he wants you and I to be there. And you know, when you see Psalms 51, let's go do the first four verses of Psalms 51. I love David's prayer. I've used it many times in my life. And I think it's one of the, there's a bunch of them, but I really like this one because I guess it hits me more than a lot of other ones, because first thing, and you hear a lot of those who are in the Psalms and Proverbs, but David was a king, and you would say, wow, he is powerful, he is, you know, but in this Psalm, and in my Bible, it says, it's a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. I didn't prove it, but I just thought it made sense that you'd be that bad when you realized, because remember, the prophet had to come to him and tell him what he'd done, because he was going to kill that man that took that man's sheep, if you remember correctly. And then he said, well, that man's you. Wow. That's what you call getting someone's attention, right? That's you. Well, and that's you and I every time Christ intercedes for us. We could be responsible for one of those stripes on Jesus Christ, because to be forgiven, it's one of the stripes that he had laid on him. He took that for you and me, for our physical and our spiritual. But anyhow, Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He didn't blame it on somebody else. He didn't blame it on Bathsheba, if that was the prayer. He said, my transgressions. And he knew his transgressions were against God the Father only. Because it's his laws, and same with us, it's his laws and his ways that we break. The perfect laws of happiness if we live by them. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. See, that's what we do at Passover. We acknowledge our transgressions. That's what it is. We look at ourselves before we go to Passover. So all these sins of ours can be removed. And we come out with a clean slate. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speakest, and be cleared when you judgest. The whole psalm is good. I like verse 7:2. Purge me with hops, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And that's basically what Christ does when he takes our sins. Our sins are gone. We have no more burdens from those sins. They're gone. What a blessing it is. Then, of course, even after the Passover, God is so loving to you and I, and he realizes as physical beings, things happen, right? And you're supposed to be to Passover, correct? That's what it says. You're to be there, to have those sins forgiven. And he is so loving that he has a second Passover, because he knows sometimes there's illness, something happens on the way to get to Passover, or you could be a place where you can't get to a Passover service. So what does he do? He has a second Passover. And let's turn to Numbers 9, if you will, and see when he instituted it. Just shows what a loving God he is. He doesn't want any of us not to have those sins forgiven, that we have to bear the burden. Okay, Numbers 9:10. Well, it says, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. Verse 11, the 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it and eat with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover that they shall keep. So God makes sure that we have an opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. That's how much he loves us. He loves the whole world. So after the Passover and our sins are forgiven, I know I've always felt just like a big weight's been lifted off my shoulders, because I know I don't have to worry about the crumbs or the things I found, that Jesus Christ, through his love, has taken that away from me. My sins are gone. I have a clean sheet. And just as Israelites come out of Egypt with a high hand, we can come out Passover feeling, wow, isn't it wonderful? I've got these sins removed. I can go forward. I don't have anything dragging me down. And you leave the past in the past, because it's gone. And then we have a night to be observed where we celebrate, just as they celebrated when they left Egypt. We're celebrating the burdens of sin in our lives. We're celebrating that we can be together. And as a group, as a church, we are cleansed. And why wouldn't we be rejoicing? Why wouldn't we be rejoicing? And that's what it's about. It's a night to be together and to rejoice. Have dinners together. Where it's one, two, or three. Where it's a whole group. We have a nice dinner here at the hall most of the time. It's really a good dinner. A lot of people do a lot of work. But you know, it's such great time to be together. And we're talking about the day's unleavened bread, because that's when it begins, on that night, that evening. And we're celebrating with God on his first holy day. So as Israelites were freed, so are we. After Passover, we get to celebrate the first day of unleavened bread. And we can eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And after we come out of Passover, we understand what every crumb is, right? We understand when we eat that unleavened bread. I forgot to bring a piece with me. I was going to bring it. I forgot it. I was going to crunch it. But I did that down in Cincinnati last year and took a bite during Days on Bread. I'm telling you what, my mouth got so dry, I thought I was going to die. I'm trying to talk. So I did. I just passed by it. But you won't believe when you're, oh, you will. Just take a bite of bread sometime, a cracker, and don't take any water with it, and you get dry and you're speaking, and all of a sudden it just doesn't have saliva. You need to get rid of it. But anyhow, back to the point. When we're eating that unleavened bread, unless it's homemade where it's not crunchy like what we buy, you hear this crunch, or like, you know, a little crackle, you know, just a little bit of crackle. It reminds you of the pain that Jesus Christ had for you and me. And we don't want to cause that pain no more. Because when you think about that, oh no, I don't want to sin. I got to make sure I stay close to God. I got to make sure that I'm better and that I obey God. Because that reminds you every time you eat that bread, and we should always eat it daily. You should always eat unleavened bread daily. It's 7 days of unleavened bread. It isn't one day and then the last day, the first holy day, which is a high day, and the last day. It's 7 days of unleavened bread. Because every time we eat it, we're to remember to keep sin out of our lives and to be looking for it to make sure we don't go back into sin. That's what God wants. He wants us to become more like Him every day and to be in His kingdom. So we're truly blessed, you and I, to be here today. Because, see, we're getting ready to go into that holy season that is so important, which is Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And you and I have the knowledge and understanding that we're to be there. Why? We're to be there because we're going to be in God's kingdom. We're to be there because we want our sins removed for Passover. We want to be there and enjoy the night to be observed with each other. Because we know what a feeling it is to know that all those troubles, all those problems, all those sins that we have had and have caused problems or created problems, they're gone. The sins are gone. They're washed away by God's Son, Jesus Christ. I was going to turn to the offerings because we're never supposed to be without offerings to God. Mr. Barker covered it well. Pretty much went over it in announcements. So we know that we're to come before God being thankful. Thankful for His love. Thankful for His mercy. Thankful for the blessings we have daily. Sometimes hourly. You know, Leviticus 17 talks about being thankful. Let's turn to Luke 17. Let's take a look at that. Because you see, it's a very important point. It's not quite the context you may usually think of it being in, but Luke 17:11. Talking about the 10 lepers that were healed. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And that's what we ask God when we come to Passover. Have mercy on us. Take our sins away. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And you see, that's what we are. We are cleansed by Christ's blood and body at Passover. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Are we the one of the 10 that come before God, giving thanks that we have Passover, then giving thanks after we go home for Passover for the cleansing that we have? Or are we the ones who walk away and say, okay, it's over, I've done Passover? Hopefully nobody does that. I'm just using that as an example. The attitude of thankfulness we should always have. Thankful that we've been called. think we've been blessed with a church family here in Dayton of a good size. We're bigger than probably 90% of the churches in the United Church of God right now. As I've told you before about Art Clark singing, "Count Your Blessings, Count Them Ton by Ton, Not One by One, But Then Count Them One by One." We have blessings every day. We need to make, when you have lemons, you make lemonade so you can swallow it. You know? We need to be the positive people. We need to say, "I got God. I can come before God the Father anytime, thanks to Jesus Christ. I have help at all times. All I have to do is help me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me." And that's what these days represent. Then the days of unleavened bread are continuing to remember to keep sin out of our lives. Let's never forget to be thankful to our living God for the opportunity to keep these spring holy days and all of God's holy days, beginning with the Sabbath day. This is God's holy time. When we are here, we are before God the Father, and this is not the Senior Citizen Center. At this point, this is God's place because this is where He's allowed us to meet. You know, one thing that we need to look at whenever we're thinking about life and things we do is Ecclesiastes 1:1. King Solomon said it. I won't turn there, just read it. "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." And if we look at ourselves, I would say most of our sins come from some type of vanity, someone working on. That's what Satan uses on everybody. Because it's something that people fall for. And he hasn't changed. But remember in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we're to follow him into God's kingdom. Let's make sure we make the right choice. Because we want to be, as it says in Isaiah 40:31, if you'll turn there in closing, well, I went to 30, looking for 41, couldn't find 41. Let's go looking for Isaiah 40. How's that, 31? And this is what you and I must do as God's children, just as we're brought out by the Bible study we had. Wait and let God take care of it. He knows everything, and everything he does is perfect. You know, we're the ones who have to change. His ways are always perfect. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That is talking about when we're going to be in God's kingdom, as we're heading there. You and I have been blessed, and we just need to be thankful. We need to be so thankful that God has opened our minds now. And let's be sure that you and I continue to study, to pray. And we need to keep Matthew 6:33 in mind. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." His righteousness are his laws, obeying and obeying, so we don't get judged by those laws that we would break. As my father-in-law say in Revelation 3:10-11, "Let no man take your crown." Let's be sure we are there to receive the crown that God has waiting for you and me.